Amrit over his nearly 30-year reign from 1892 to 1922. While Coffin created a vertical, hierarchical, centralized structure to control the various GE works scattered across the country, he conceived of organizing national sales forces along product lines and established the nation's first industrial research laboratory under Charles Proteus Steinmetz, widely known as the Wizard of Schenectady. But apart from all the patents, inventions, and innovations that GE pioneered more than any company in the world over time, its most singular contribution to the evolution of modern business has been the intensity of its focus on leadership. By the 1920s, under the duo of Coffin's successors, Gerard Swope and Owen Young, GE began conducting specialized management retreats in the Thousand Islands area of upstate New York, stressing the inculcation of leadership values, the first true corporate leadership curriculum in the world, which served as the precursor to the establishment of the Leadership Development Center at Crotonville in 1956 under then-CEO Ralph Kordner. The center spearheaded a 13-week executive leadership program that would be emulated by Harvard and other leading schools of business as they developed their own leadership programs. This, by then well-grounded tradition of innovating new business models, as well as machines, led during the Depression to the foundation of GE Credit, later called GE Capital, to provide struggling householders with the means to buy GE's washing machines, toasters, fans, and other electrical appliances. During that period of the New Deal, as labor relations became a new battlefield, management focused on the adoption of generous pension plans and profit-based bonuses to keep its employees from joining unions. During the post-World War II period of rapid economic expansion, the company continued to develop its core management and leadership curriculum, commissioning such leading lights as the great Austrian-American consultant and theorist Peter F. Drucker to contribute to its famous Bible-like Blue Books, a series consisting of 5 volumes of meticulously detailed guidance for GE managers that shaped management theory and practice around the country and the world for decades to come. In the 1960s, GE led the way to strategic planning, while in the 1980s and 1990s under Jack Welch, its warm embrace of such then cutting-edge leadership development concepts as workout, boundarylessness, and Six Sigma made them an integral part of global management culture. What I will refer to from here on as the GE pipeline, or in some cases the Jack Welch pipeline, was a marvelous thing not just to behold, but to be part of. Its unique design, equipped with multiple redundant systems and an array of checks and balances, was entirely in keeping with the deeply held conviction adhered to by Welch, but also by all GE leaders both before and after his time, that the most important products GE produces aren't aircraft engines or locomotives, but great leaders. According to a report in USA Today, author Del Jones noted that the top 3 companies for producing CEOs of other companies at that time were GE with 26, IBM with 18, and McKinsey with 16. The piece openly celebrated the fact that at certain companies, a comparatively small group that includes GE, Procter & Gamble, PepsiCo, and Yum Brands, all organizations frequently referred to as academy companies, which will serve as role models of robust pipeline production in this book. Seeing senior executives leave even after decades of investment in their development for presumably greener pastures outside the company is not looked down on or frowned upon, but rather regarded as a high honor,